Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
But you are ODB, though. I mean, that's just...
Shout out, y'all.
I'm going to put a picture of my food stamp ID on use my real food stamp ID.
All right, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. And Bart Scott, when it's hour number three, what's that mean? We're going to take a sip first. Pinky up. Keep that big toe away.
I had some pecans and cashews in my mouth.
Pecans, please.
Yeah. Man, I messed this mic up. I got nuts everywhere.
Do this again.
All right, I'm ready.
When it's hour number three, what's that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
So when I contacted Frank Isola about coming on the show, I gave him two time options. Mm. And I said, so he had to pick the later one, which is now. And I said, oh, lucky you get to be in the power hour.
It's like, what's that?
And I imagine as he's listening right now, he's saying, what the hell am I getting myself into? Frank, how are we doing, man?
Ow, 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 ow.
He just keeps going.
I figured Bart would be awake by 2 o'clock. So I wanted to be on when everyone was,
paying attention.
Well, we appreciate it. The blood sugar was really low coming in from boxing class. You know what I'm saying? I had to come in here and say, cut me, Mick.
Yeah. We got some food. We were good to go. Speaking of being awake, Frank does pre and post for the Yes Network on Nets broadcast and then has to wake up. Like, you get, 2 hours sleep, then you wake up and he does, which is a terrific show on SiriusXM NBA Radio, The Morning Rush. He and Brian Scalabrine. And he does it every morning. So you do games post-game, and then you get up and do a morning show.
It's like going straight from the club to work.
Like, when you get old, you sleep more, not less.
No,
Frank.
Old people,
what are
don't, go to old people don't sleep that much. They don't want to.
You're afraid to sleep?
They don't want to go to the deep sleep. Now, my grandma used to take naps. Like, I didn't want to close my eyes too
one
long.
Eye open.
Yeah.
It's good. It keeps you from drinking at night. So you lay at the end, because those days are over. I could maybe have a drink at 11 o'clock at night. If I do that, I'll have a headache for 3 days after doing radio in the morning. So that's,
I don't know. After that first quarter and first half last night, I imagine you might want to have a few drinks. Watching the Nets, just like, what a difference a couple of weeks makes, right? I mean, the night that Kevin Durant makes his debut in Phoenix, you have one of the – I mean, that was the worst first half the Nets have ever had in their franchise history. 81 points they gave up to the Knicks. Before we get into all the Knicks stuff of this, though, just from a Nets perspective, I mean, is this really – like, is it demoralizing where they are right now, or is all these draft picks in the next couple of years giving them some hope that, all right, well, this is now a rebuild. It's official.
Well, yeah, it's weird. They played really well a few weeks ago against a good Philadelphia team. They probably should have won the game. They played well against Atlanta. I also think it's the teams that they're running into. They weren't ready after the break to play Chicago. Got smoked by them. They played really well for, three quarters of the game against Milwaukee, but then Milwaukee outclassed them. Then went back-to-back against the Knicks. You can just tell. The Knicks are more locked in. They're more organized. Right now, they're better coached on both ends of the court. There's no doubt about it. I mean, what I thought would happen, though, I mean, Jalen Brunson killed them 2 weeks ago. He scored 40 points. I figured they would figure out a way to maybe defend him better. He had 30 by halftime. He's 30 of 39 with 79 points in his last two games against the Nets. It's ridiculous.
That is.
That's like, I mean, who's putting up those kind of numbers? The guy, and you don't even think of him when he came out of college as a great, great scorer. 30 for 39. That's what he shot against the Nets in the last two games.
They tried to trap him. I mean, that's the one thing that I guess Vaughn did try to do, was just get it out of his hands and trap him. But by then it was kind of too late. But on the Brunson topic, obviously, you know his dad, Rick Brunson. You covered those late 90s teams. And Jalen was, a little kid running around in Chicago when Tibbs was there and Rick was there as an assistant. And, his trajectory from, as you mentioned, I mean, he was a star in college. He won two championships. He was a terrific player in college. But a second-round pick, what he was with Dallas – to what he is this year, I mean, did you have any indication that he, and we saw him have big playoff games last year, and we saw hints of it, but did you have any indication that he'd be doing what he's doing this year in his first year in New York?
No, not especially from a scoring standpoint, but when you do look back at his career, I mean, the guy did play for a terrific coach at Villanova, and the guy won he had his father coaching him, you know, when he was younger, and obviously teaching him to play the position the right way. I never understood, you know, I get it. You're going to miss on certain guys, but how does everybody in the NBA miss on the guy in the first round where he ends up going in the second round after being player of the year? He won two national championships. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, because he doesn't jump out of the building and he's not going to blow you away with his athleticism, but the guy just knows how to play basketball. And he comes there, he's playing, you know, Tom Thibodeau has known him for a long time. He's all about winning. The guy just wins. I don't get what these teams see. And I don't get what the Dallas Mavericks see. They would have signed last year a couple of times for a $55 million contract. Dallas wouldn't give it to him. He ends up leaving. They don't get anything for him. Even if they didn't want the guy, why wouldn't you just sign Jalen Brunson knowing that there would be teams interested in him? Instead, they draft the guy, they develop him, and now when he's at his best, they just let him walk to New York. And the impact that he's had with the Knicks, it's incredible what he's done. Clearly, he was good enough to be an all-star this year, and he just plays with so much confidence and so much poise, and he's such a likable person. He's a bit of a throwback. You know, he doesn't really get caught up in the nonsense. Even last year during the playoffs, you know, when they were going up against Phoenix, there's a lot of talking back and forth. He doesn't get wrapped up in that. He's not a Bart Scott talker. He's a very quiet guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's because he's way more mature than me. I got the mindset of a 3-year-old. When you look at, you know, I want to go back to this Nets team a little bit, because when you look at who's going to be the core going forward and Vaughn, I'm assuming that they, you know, they decided to go with Vaughn and not go and continue to search for Udoka because they understand that this is a rebuild. But who's going to be some of the centerpieces that they're going to build this team around, and who's going to be some assets that they potentially can get a good haul back from? Because we talk about, you know, we talk about Bridges and how he could potentially fit, you know, well with the Knicks. We don't think that they'll do that, but are they going to give him an extension or a salary? Or are they going to try and flip some of these pieces and start all over from scratch again?
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the final 20 games. I mean, they clearly like Bridges a lot. I think it's the same with Cam Johnson. They have a lot of assets right now where maybe they could do something in the offseason. But, you know, you got to be able to make a trade, and you got to, you know, decide on the right player and hope that it works. A big issue with the team right now is Ben Simmons, because, you know, if Ben Simmons could somehow be the player that he was 3 or 4 years ago, it would make all the difference in the world that you could stick him out there in point guard with all these athletic players plus the size that Ben Simmons is. But I'm not so sure that could happen. You know, he shows up at games. He looks like he's in a good mood. He's got a smile on his face on the bench. Then when they ask Jack Vaughn after the game, they say, well, he's got a sore knee. Well, what exactly does that mean? Sore knee, he's been out for 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Is
still
he getting
sore?
Tests? I mean, it's incredible. I don't understand. I feel badly for him. If he's struggling, going through something where he doesn't want to play, if it's a mental thing, you know, you feel badly for the guy, because it wasn't that long ago when he was a really good NBA player. I think he made third team All-NBA one year. He's been an All-Star 3 times. He's so far away from being that player, and that's the biggest issue that they have right now. What are they going to do with this guy? Because he's untradeable. There's no question about it in terms of getting any kind of value, plus the contract he makes. They need him out there playing and playing well, but I have no idea if that's possible.
I mean, if you were making $70 million over the next 2 years and weren't forced to work, wouldn't you be kind of in a good mood all the time too? I mean, the soreness factor to me is what, this is what I hate when they treat us like we're idiots.
General soreness.
And they just keep giving, right, they keep giving us, like, that's the issue.
We're all sore.
Is that it's just, like, sore. I mean, give him salon pause. Can we get some copper fit for this guy? Like, it's just sore. Like, give me at least something a little more than the knee is sore. At least then we can live with it. All right, well, he's dealing with something. Okay, great. And if it is mental, Philly already made that clear. He already has talked about his mental issues. No one's going to be shocked or upset that he's got a mental issue. If he does, all right, let's get him some help. But this sore knee thing that they keep dragging out, it's like, I mean, are we all idiots here? Nobody has a sore knee for 2 weeks and can't play.
No.
So I
agree.
Yeah.
Then they
general
talk about
soreness.
Exactly how, you know, all NBA players have some form of tendonitis. You play basketball, you know that your knees eventually are going to hurt you. You know, Jock Vaughn is a very upbeat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell he's a little fed up with the whole situation with Ben Simmons. I mean, Seth Warren played for Jerry Sloan, and he played for Greg Popovich. I mean, there was a certain way. You know, he came up in those organizations.
Right.
And think about the players that he played with in those two organizations. And now you have Ben Simmons with all this talent, making the salary that he, you know, that he's receiving, and he's just not doing enough for it. It's got to be so incredibly frustrating. He's not going to completely destroy him, but he has said, when they asked him about the knee, this was a couple weeks ago, he said, no, they did test. Everything's fine. It's just sore. What does that tell you?
Hey, by the way, at least we have one injury secret that has been revealed. Dave McMenamin now reporting that after medical examination by a team of physicians, let me get a load of this tweet. It was determined LeBron James suffered a right foot tendon injury against the Mavericks, and the Lakers say that he will be reevaluated in approximately 3 weeks. So he had a whole team of physicians that gave him a medical examination, and the determination was there's a tendon injury. We don't know the extent of it, but it's in his right foot. So at least we know the foot already, but now we know it's a tendon. So we're getting closer to understanding what this is. Isn't it amazing? A team of physicians.
I said this, right? So when Patrick Mahomes hurt his ankle, we were getting hourly updates on everything about Patrick Mahomes' ankle. If Lionel Messi were to have a hangnail, it would be the biggest story in the world, and they'd be calling in doctors from all over. How should it be treated? What should they do? Here's LeBron James, one of the biggest athletes in the world, says he hears something pop on a Sunday, and now it's finally 4 days later, we finally get an update. I know they have MRI machines in Dallas and Memphis where he was.
Yeah.
And he has X-ray machines. So clearly they knew. This was probably more about LeBron. Maybe LeBron was so blown away by the injury, thinking, no, I'll be all right. Just reevaluate in 2 weeks. And maybe now maybe it's been a few days, he says, all right, finally you could release some of the information. Come on, man. We know this. They knew what his injury was clearly by Monday morning. It's just so bizarre that a player – as big as he was,
right.
He's like, I got nothing to see here. He's 38 years old. Who knows if the injury could be career altering for him?
Like, we all accepted it. We all accept. I love how it was like, no, nothing really on the injury. We'll know when we're going to let it rest for 2 weeks. Oh, okay. Like what? Oh, okay.
No,
talk about rewriting the press release. Like, come on, let's get some information. But anyways, we're talking with Frank Isola. You see him on ESPN all the time, Around the Horn, PTI. He's got his morning show on Sirius XM, NBA Radio. And years ago, wrote a great book called Just Ballin' on that lockout year Knicks team that came together, and really the city fell in love with that team. And Frank, as we're talking about the Knicks, there was a lot from last night in the building that I was leaving, I did the radio, I had to cut through the crowd, then get to the post game, and everybody's just talking about the vibe in the building and what it feels like. And 2013 was one thing, 54 wins. You had like this mercenary team that had one shot to win it, and then it didn't happen. But there's like this feeling now of this is your father's Knicks, the one that your dad kept telling you about from the 90s that plays hard and plays tough and is easy to root for. You covered those teams, you were around those teams, you grew up with those teams. Is this the closest version that this generation has to those teams?
Yeah, and I do think you're right. That team that did win the 54 games. Remember that year, I think they beat Miami three times.
Yep.
So there was a disappointment against Indiana. I still think about the Roy Hibbert block on Carmelo at the rim, which I think that changed the whole series. I think the Knicks really would have given Miami a run for their money if they ended up playing them in the conference finals that year. But this team, there is a certain toughness about it. And the one thing, about Tom Thibodeau, he was around for those teams. And you think about the guys that were there, whether it was Patrick Ewing, whether it was Larry Johnson, earlier it was John Starks, then eventually it was Latrell Sprewell. There was definitely a toughness and an edge. And, they kind of got, what works in New York and kind of the way that you have to play and being able to deal with the pressure of playing in New York. Now, this team's going to get tested. When they play, if they end up playing Cleveland in the first round, and my radio partner today, Brian Scalabrine, he thinks that the Knicks are better than Cleveland, but Cleveland is talented, man. I mean, come on, Donovan Mitchell is a good player. They're big, so they could match up with the Knicks from that standpoint. But there is something about this team. It's kind of like a quiet confidence. And I think a lot of it has to do with the point guard, the way that he is. I think Quentin Grimes, look at the way that he kind of conducts himself. And Julius Randle looks good, man. He's in great shape. His passing ability is terrific. Does he sometimes hold on to the ball a little bit? But that's fine. I mean, most of the top players on each team, they do that. I think the playoffs this year are going to be a lot of fun. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility they're out of the first round. Let's say they had to play Boston in the second round. They'll give Boston a run for their money. That would be some playoff series.
But, you know, with that, you know, and the success that they've had, the expectations has risen. So can a loss in the first round just deflate all the good equity that this Knicks team has had? And what would that force them to do in the offseason?
Yeah, I think, a lot of people do look at the way that ended. Well, for example, look at last year for the Brooklyn Nets, the way that ended getting swept. And then the Warriors don't want to win, and Kevin Durant is completely freaking out if that happens. But the one thing I do think about this Knicks team, for a lot of players, I think it makes their team and organization, I think it makes it more desirable for players to go to. And I think you look at a guy like Jalen Brunson, I could see players saying, oh, that's a guy I'd like to play with. You know, he's a guy that gets everybody involved. You know, the guy that he left, Luka Doncic, is an awesome player. But I don't know, do superstar players want to play with him? He does hold the ball a lot. It's kind of the same thing with James Harden, a little bit like Trae Young is like that as well. They're great players, and there's a lot of pluses to what they do. But do other guys want to go play with them? The Knicks would be a team where I think, you go play with Jalen Brunson. I think he'd embrace any great player that wanted to be there. Now you look back at it, there was some way they could have gotten Donovan Mitchell. Maybe we'd be having a different conversation right now. I do think you're right. If it's a first-round exit, I think at this point it would be a disappointment for them, but I don't think it's something that's going to stall them in the future. I think, to me, this team is trending certainly in the right direction.
Frank, I asked Wendy, Brian Windhorst, this question a couple of weeks ago, and Wendy's always really good at being dramatic, and he always has like something, like he can tell you a little anecdote, a little story. But he had no answer, and I don't think any of us do. I felt like getting Donovan Mitchell was like that was your one shot, because it just feels like that run of years where one all-star player wanted out or was going to be moved. Like, he even said it. There's no one on the other side here of, okay, now the Knicks can target this guy. Do you know, like, if you were to guess, whether it's this offseason, as early as this offseason, give me a name that you're like, I'd keep an eye on that guy. I don't know if he's going to be happy there, or I don't know if the team is happy with him and that he could be available, and so the Knicks could use all their assets and try to bring that guy in to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns would be one, and obviously Tom Coach in the Minnesota. I still think Damian Lillard, Kevin Garnett was very similar to Damian Lillard. He had all the loyalty in the world to, the organization that drafted him. In the case of Kevin Garnett, it was Minnesota. He had to be basically told that right now, we get it. You want to be loyal. You love the people here. You love the organization, but you're in a bad marriage. The best thing that you could do for yourself and the organization would be to move. And then the best thing that ended up happening to Kevin Garnett is him going to the Boston Celtics. Could that be a situation with Damian Lillard? And obviously the Knicks have the assets to get something done. I wonder about this player, and let's assume that he is healthy. And this would only be a one-year rental. I get it. Or maybe 2 years. What if they somehow got LeBron? Really, what's like the one? So LeBron at this point, right? He's won in Cleveland, give them a championship. He proved he could win with a super team in Miami. He got two there. He went to L.A. He won there. He got Anthony Davis come. They won the bubble, whatever the case may be. He's doing things that Jordan didn't do. All time leading scorer. He's obviously was a top three, top four in assists, whatever the case may be. He wants to play with his son. It's like, what else could LeBron James do to really add to his legacy if he doesn't get the six titles? How about if he got that one in New York, where wasn't it just this past weekend they honored the 73 championship team? I mean, it's been 50 years since that happened. Could that be something that they would look to? I'm not trying to start anything or do clickbait. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, because people in L.A., do wonder about, is the front office and ownership happy with LeBron? Is he happy with them? I'm not so sure how it's all going to play out there.
The problem is the second star that was supposed to take the baton from him looks like he's, decreasing at a faster rate than expected. We thought that Anthony Davis was going to be the superstar and other people would compare with him. LeBron decided to move away. But to your point, we've been kind of making the same argument. If Aaron Rodgers came here, he'll never catch Tom Brady. But if he came here and won a championship with the Jets, It catapulted him as far as the status of great players, because he lifted up a inept organization.
So how dare you say inept, by the way? I don't think you need to go there, but still, I get what you're saying. Okay. But you know what? The Lillard one, though, would be like we always were saying, like Patrick Kane to the Rangers is like what? It would be like Damian Lillard coming here.
Well, had the shortest backcourt in basketball.
I don't care. You got two guys that can light you up.
They got it. They got it in Cleveland too, but they got unbelievable size there along the front line. That's why it could work with Damian Lillard. The one thing too about, I always think about this for LeBron. Like really, what the other thing that, like, it's too bad Charlotte was a little bit better. Maybe LeBron would say, I know how I could get on Michael Jordan's good side. I'll go to Charlotte and win a championship with him. How interesting would
Jordan
that
be trying to play one-on-one with him?
Jordan will win a championship as an owner with LeBron on the team. There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing is, I thought this, when we were talking about the legacy collections, I don't know if you heard this, Frank. So there's the six Jordans that Michael wore in his clinching games of each championship.
Yeah.
They're up for auction together. It's called the
Legacy
Collection, or Dynasty Collection, whatever it's called. And they're expecting to get like $100 million for this. LeBron buys them up. Just buy them up.
He's going to buy them up and burn them?
Just buy them. just bury the evidence.
The long-time equipment guy for the Bulls was John Lignozowski. It just looked exactly like the guys from Saturday Night Live, the Bears. You know, looks like
Yeah.
And he became a big story when Jordan decided to go back from 45 to 23. Mm-hmm. And I guess the guy had been carrying around 23 in the equipment, whatever box that he has. So whenever we would see him on the road, because I did their last three finals when they won, Michael won his last three championships, and I would always see that guy, and they said, you got an extra 23. He said, I always keep on handy. I'm thinking now, man, I should have offered the guy.
Yep.
Maybe I should have stolen it. I should have offered the guy some money. Think of all the times I was around that darn team where Michael Jordan's team. Who knows? He might have thrown them my way.
Just say, oh, yeah, I got an extra 23. Here you go. Right? Yeah. Just throw it in your pocket.
What's the guy that goes to all the Super Bowls and it sneaks into the laundry chute and steals stuff? That could have been Frank.
There's a guy that does that?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought that was a commercial. He got arrested.
Stole
Tom Brady's jersey.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The guy that stole Tom Brady's jersey.
Yeah,
yes.
But he do all the time. Yeah. Yep. See, Frank, man.
Yeah.
Crime does pay.
He wouldn't have to wake up at 4 a.m. every morning doing a radio show with Bryce Calabrini. Hey, but we appreciate you jumping on with us, my man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. All the best. Frank Isola, again, you can see him around the horn, PTI, and of course,
everywhere.
Again, Yes Network, pre and post with the Nets. And yes, every morning on SiriusXM. NBA Radio, he and Brian Scalabrine. It's a great show. And every Tuesday, 8 o'clock, it's like their best segment ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm on.
Featured.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Here's the problem with our time slot is like all the big lunches, you know, all the Han shows, all they really want to do is go to lunch. Everything's lunch, right? Anybody that works in an office, all the people that are like the bosses, everything's a lunch. Oh, let's meet for lunch. We'll
it's
go for lunch.
It's 3 o'clock.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's 2:30. They come back. They're both wearing suits. So like, all right, there must have been a lunch with some executives. They didn't have to pay for.
Yeah, power lunch.
Must have been nice.
Charges on the card.
You and I sitting there just trying to scoff down some like chicken quesadilla, like we're
You know if they come here with
a couple of 12-year-olds in cafeteria.
You know if they come here with a black plastic bag, what kind of lunch they had?
Oh.
Yeah. You know, we all know where you get the black plastic bag at. In case you got stuff you don't want nobody seeing what you got inside your bag.
Oh.
It's called that the holy moly.
The holy moly?
Yeah.
And see, that's rich people things that I can't relate to.
Call it the bum bum tabernacle.
They serve wings?
Oh, lemon pepper.
Best all the wings out
all the wings. All the wings. Yeah, lemon all pepper. The wings. And oddly enough, a hell of a ribeye steak.
Hmm. Isn't that something? Hmm. Just randomly, really good steakhouse.
A lot of seasoning, a lot of sauce on it.
Do you know who had a really good a steak? It was I think it was a steakhouse, but it was like their restaurant which served steak. What was the
12?
It was on the east side. The famous club.
12.
Not 12. No.
Oh, are you talking about Holy Moly?
No, not Holy Moly.
Oh, not a Holy Moly.
No,
I really don't remember anything but the Holy Moly.
Slipped my mind right now. And probably for the better. 800-919-3776.
Hey, yo, I went to what? Scarlett's a couple weeks ago. They had a potluck. They sit there it's like a buffet. But it's like somebody cooked food at the house. They got the tinfoil pans. They just scoop you out some stuff.
I'm like, man, Scarlett's do that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, this made at somebody's house. Oh, you don't know, Alan.
No, I was trying to remember because my cousin used to be the manager there for 10 years. And I was like, why do I not remember it? Scores.
Ah.
Great steakhouse.
They're still open?
No, I don't think so.
Sin City.
Well, not the original. The original, I think there is a Scores, but it's not that.
Sin City got closed
historic,
down.
Historic, you know.
It's a damn shame. Sin
GQ, another good.
A lot of business deals.
I've heard. Yeah. These are all things I've heard about.
Listen, the funniest
thing
I ever seen was John P. Key trying to sneak his big ass into the strip club. Like, man, come on, man. I played your tape earlier, man. He had an Atlanta Hawks jersey on, bro. How you going to be a man of God and think that anybody in the world is going to have an Atlanta Hawks jersey on? Was it Fred Hammond or John P. Key? It was one, whatever the one with the braids or the dreads.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, he was in there trying to save souls that night.
So one night, my cousin, because I just would go there after games and stuff, and mm-hmm. my cousin would just we'd talk, he'd work, I would just have a drink.
Eat wings.
And there was one night, I won't name the Met. But it was a Met at the time. This is a long time ago, so it's not anybody current. But I don't want to name because I don't want to out him because I don't know what his relationship situation was at the time. But he was hanging. He was there. And my cousin was like, he doesn't know sports. So he's like, you got to help me out. They're telling me he plays for the Mets. I don't know him. So I told him. I was like, oh, it's this dude. He's like, can you come over and help me? So I come over and we're hanging out. So I spend the rest of the night with this guy. One night only. Never saw him again. Never talked to him again. Nothing. We just had a blast, right?
It's like hangover?
My man was all about the Crayola box.
Ah.
He wanted just variety.
Well, equal opportunity. That's
and
what I'm talking about.
And I mean, it was a very busy area.
You know what we call that? Call that the Rainbow Coalition, baby.
Yeah, that was Rainbow
Coalition.
Bringing
all the nations together, baby.
Yeah, well, really, that was a United Nations kind of night. I will leave it. But it was fun. And again, it's one of those funny things that you're like, we never talked again, ever.
No need to.
Met that
What's
night.
Understood,
never saw each other again. Had a memorable, man, that was a lot of fun.
Wingman.
It was great.
I miss us.
And you and I have to have one of these experiences one of these days. Are you okay with that? Are you comfortable with that?
I just told you I went to Scarlett's the other week.
Okay. But you go on your own. I'm saying, are you comfortable enough to share that kind of time with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
You learn a lot about
yes,
your
you
friends.
Do. Yes,
listen,
you do.
I went to a strip club with a friend, and I said, listen, from now on, he will never drink out of a glass in my cup in my house.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Paper cups from my own, brother. Mm-hmm. Disposable straws. That is not your line, buddy.
DiPietro and I went one time, and Dino, you were with us. You remember when he had someone's hand wiped on his shoulder?
Yeah, that was Atlantic City?
Yeah. And it's like that jacket went right into the garbage. It was like, do you like
make
that
it
jacket?
Out of the club?
Not anymore. Burn it. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Gary in Brooklyn. What's up, Gary?
What's up? What's up, Bart? Allen, was good.
You got it.
What up, though?
The Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
They got the vibe of the 90s Knicks, but they're not quite there yet. You understand? Let's see if they can make the fame in the playoffs. Let's see what they do. But the Josh Hart acquisition, that was key. You understand?
Great fit.
Grimes is the X factor. Grimes, let's see if Grimes could give us that, what he gave us last night, every night, or maybe something close to that. We'll go far. You understand? But they're not quite there yet. You understand?
What's your expectations for them in the playoffs?
Oh, we're going to smack Cleveland. We're going to smack them.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's it. Smack them.
They got that bad taste from the last time we got swept. But we ain't worried about that.
Going to hit him so hard.
It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe. We're going to smack Cleveland.
Going to hit him so hard that Donovan's going to ask for a trade during the series. He's going to, during the series, say, Cleveland, I was supposed to go to that team.
He wanted to be here.
Yeah.
He wanted to be here. It's not his fault. You can't blame him, but we're going to smack him. And then when the second round is going to be good, too. Like what Frank said, it's going to be good.
Be interesting.
But we don't need LeBron. Frank, just be easy on that one.
Yeah, right, LeBron come to y'all when he's got nothing to offer.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Like, you're really LeBron?
Now you want to come?
Yeah.
Now? Yeah. And then when they don't lose, he blames everybody else.
And he's going to make you drive Brownie.
Well, we'll have plenty of second-round picks to do that.
Oh. Yo, little Brownie's way better, but watch out for them Boozer twins.
Ooh. Yeah, you keep talking about that, Carlos Boozer.
Them Boozer twins kids is going to be probably the best crop of second-gen.
Are they like 12 years old and they're 6'9", 240 already?
Yeah, yo.
Right? Going through AAU like it's...
Well, you know, he was built like Buck Williams, too.
Yes, he was.
I mean, he had that carpet taco meat on his chest.
One of the nicest guys in the world, by the way.
Is he?
Like a tremendously nice guy.
I mean, he lost me when he put the shoe polish hairstyle on.
Well, I thought he painted that.
Yeah, it was.
Right? That wasn't even hair.
They did it with a roller.
they had a little mini roller?
Yeah, they got a mini roller.
Where'd you paint a cabinet? Like, come on, man. Mike in West Caldwell. What's up, Mike?
Mike. Damn, Mike. So much promise.
All right, instead of talking to Mike, let's do this. There were grades for NFL teams.
Yeah.
About facilities.
Report card.
All the things that they have to offer players. And the NFLPA had a bunch of players, over 1,000 players, grade their teams.
And their facilities.
Where do the Jets and Giants rank among NFL teams in just, you know, making players happy?
And who's the worst?
Oh, boy. Wait till you see who the absolute worst is.
F.
You wouldn't be surprised. Let's just put it there.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, we got to have kids. Take away all our spontaneity.
You know what I mean? I got to sit at a volleyball practice tonight. That's what I got to do tonight.
You know what I say?
What?
F them kids.
No, let's not do that. Hey, the Michael Kay Show is coming up next. The boys are in the studio getting ready. You can see them live from the bar at Moynihan Trail Hall. Moynihan's not an easy word to say, a name to say. Moynihan.
It's pretty much like every word I have to say.
Well, it'll be Friday, March 10th, before the semifinal round of the Big East tournament. You can stop by before you head to the Garden or before you commute home. Enter a chance to win tickets to the championship game, of course, of the Big East. Michael Kay Show live from the bar at Moynihan Trail Hall. Train Hall. See? It messes you up.
It's a tongue twister.
Moynihan Train Hall.
It's like when I used to have to say, what's the word?
Why do you got
to
call it like Penn Station's easy? Penn Station.
Yeah.
Grand Central Station. Easy. Moynihan Train Hall. It's just difficult. Can we just call it something else?
So let's call it MTH.
I know who it's after, but still.
Who is it after? I'm an import.
Daniel Patrick Moynihan.
Who's that?
He was a senator. I know. Hmm. That's what they named it after. But it's a lot.
Can we change that to the Bismarcky Choo-Choo Train?
We should. That's what we should call it. The Bismarcky Choo-Choo Train Station.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they can just call it the Biz.
Yeah, the Biz. I'm about to catch the Biz, man.
I see you at the Biz.
I see you at the Biz.
All right,
huh?
So see the K-Show at the bar at the Biz.
See,
March 10th, steps away from Madison Square Garden in Penn Station. It's brought to you by Jack Daniels, Sam Adams, and Truly Hard Seltzer. How do you think the Jets and Giants rank? How'd you like the locker room at Florham Park?
Locker room was cool, but you know that was 9 years ago, and it pretty much looks the same. You know, a lot of new stadiums, a lot of new practice facilities made, so
yeah.
It's been mad upgrades to other places.
All right, so the NFLPA put out like report cards.
I'm glad they're doing this, by the way.
1,300 players provided information to share with one another about their current club And it's basically like, because you're a free agent, you're going to sign with a team and all that stuff. Like, you need to know, like, how is this place? How is it, right?
Yeah.
So it's all about little overall working conditions, the daily experience, things that you don't see on camera. So let's go with treatment of families first. The Dallas Cowboys got an A+. The Vikings and the Panthers all got A's. The Buffalo Bills an A-. The New York Giants, B+. The Jets, Bart, C+. Treatment of family?
No, that's not true.
Well, I mean, somebody had to say they didn't like it. All right.
That's because somebody complained about not being able to put their kids in the kids club because it's somebody's auntie and it ain't their real kid. All right, but go ahead.
Nutrition. Again, Dallas Cowboys, top of the list, A. Huh? Green Bay Packers, an A. Eagles, A. Dolphins, A. And the A-minuses go to the Vikings, the Niners, and the Raiders. So nutrition, very good. Giants, B+. Jets, C-. What are they giving you guys?
Nutrition?
What are they giving you guys?
Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know why or who said that. Because
what are they
I know,
giving you guys? Hot dogs and Fritos?
No, not at all.
What are we doing here?
I know for a fact that Woody Johnson only allows grass-fed beef and all organic meats there.
Somebody.
And the chef there, Marcus, they cooking steaks, lobster.
Somebody's calling them out.
Somebody lying.
C- for nutrition.
Somebody lying.
Do you want to know who's the worst? There was three.
Jacksonville?
There were three F- in nutrition.
In nutrition. It would have been when Rex was there. We used to have like a cheese fountain.
You had a charcuterie board. Chargers were an F. Cardinals, F-. Bengals, F-. Saints, F-. All right, weight room.
Well, Saints, you're getting a po' boy, man. Like,
weight room. We're running out of time. Okay. Weight room. Bills, Raiders, Cowboys, and Dolphins all get A+ for their weight room. The Bears, the Texans, and Vikings, and Packers all got A's. And let's see. The Saints, Seahawks, and Niners, and Eagles all got A-. So where are the Giants? The Giants, B+. Once again, the Giants very steady at a B+. The Jets, B-. What the hell?
And you know,
what are we doing there?
But they just redid. Listen, that's a new facility. And the Jets facility is way more modern and new than the Giants.
I want to get through as fast as we can. Strength staff, a lot of A's. Yeah, I think everybody loves their strength staff.
Except for the Baltimore Ravens.
They just fired
their guy.
The Giants got a B+. The Jets got a B. The Ravens got an F-.
Yeah, that's what they fired
their guy. Training room, pretty positive stuff all around. The Giants got a B+ for their training room. Jets, C+. Somebody doesn't like what the Jets have. Training staff, Giants, A+, among very many A+s, A's. Everybody's A's all the way down the board. But when you get to the Jets, B. Training staff. Last but not least, locker room. Most important part of the team, right?
Yep.
All right, a lot of A's. A whole lot of A's, actually. Where are the Giants? They got a B. How about the Jets? B-. The Jets did not score very well here. Not well at all.
I'm glad they do that because this is going to hold people accountable.
Now, the Washington Commanders, by the way, got Fs, D+, F-, F-. Like, nobody likes that place. And the Arizona Cardinals, F-, 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 F. Not a good place to play. Patrick Kane makes his Ranger debut tonight at the Garden. So you get a back-to-back nights at the Garden with a whole lot of energy. The heartbeat of New York at Madison Square Garden. It'll be tonight. Enjoy the game tonight and enjoy the K-Show, which is coming up next. See you tomorrow, Bart.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.